You're listening to the Hudson River, a weekly half-hour program about the nature, culture, and beauty of one of America's great waterways. The Hudson River is produced at Vassar College and brought to you in cooperation with this radio station. I'm your host, Mark Breslov. Coming up, we learn about a two-year display of art at 10 outdoor locations along an 80-mile stretch of the Hudson River between Bear Mountain and Albany. Classical composer Joseph Bertolozzi tells us about a rock along the Hudson in Poughkeepsie that has served as an inspiration for his music. And we hear the story of a bridge worker's eye-to-eye encounter with a hungry peregrine falcon. All this and more next on the Hudson River. On this week's Hudson River Culture segment, we hear about a particular spot on the river that served as inspiration for several unrecorded pieces by classical composer Joseph Bertolozzi.
I was born in Poughkeepsie. I grew up there, went to school there. When I was, I guess, in my teens, you know, I was old enough, tough enough to walk from my house down to the river to compose. And there's a little promontory which comes out. It separates Cal Rock Park from Warriors Park. And you could climb out along the outside, like right over the river, and one false step, you're into the drink. And I used to climb up around that and sit on these trees, which just kind of stuck out over the outcropping. And I have a few different pieces that I wrote while sitting there.
In celebration of the bicentennial of the city in 1999, Bertolozzi composed a work called Sweet Poughkeepsie, available on the Blue Wings Press label. Each of the six movements evoked a different place in the city, including the closing, Between the Bridges at Sunset. He tells us about youthful walks across the Mid-Hudson Bridge as inspiration for this piece.
Particularly in the fall, you're walking from Poughkeepsie to the Highland side, you see all this beautiful foliage, and then you'd come back on the other side and you'd see Poughkeepsie coming up out of the river, and it was always a nice feeling to go for a walk there and stop and look down at the water. And the music was just meant to give that feeling of enjoyment that I had, and the sweeping melody is sort of like the broad sweeping vista that you can see actually from the bridge looking up and down the river.
Thank you.
In the 1800s, painters such as Frederick Church and Thomas Cole created a body of landscape paintings that collectively became known worldwide as the Hudson River School. For almost two centuries since, the Hudson has remained an inspiration for artists, but perhaps never before has there been such a promise for a new kind of Hudson River School in media of photography, sculpture, sound, and more. Just this week, the nonprofit arts organization Minetta Brook launched a two-year display of commissioned art at 10 outdoor locations. The works stretch along an 80-mile piece of the Hudson River between Bear Mountain and Albany and are collectively entitled Watershed, the Hudson Valley Art Project. On today's Hudson River feature, Diane Shamish, executive director of Minetta Brook, in an interview conducted several months before the launch, begins by telling us about the project.
The project is a program of public artworks and educational initiatives that are taking place throughout the Hudson Valley. We are working with about 16 organizations in the Valley, and we are commissioning new works by artists both from across the United States and outside the United States who are producing works which focus on the natural and cultural geography of the Hudson River.
What was the inspiration for this project? How did it come about?
We were invited to come to Beacon, New York by the Center for the Arts, a major new museum in Beacon, along the Hudson River waterfront, and Scenic Hudson, which is a major environmental organization that owns several parcels of land in Beacon. And my organization, Minetta Brook, was invited to come and study the riverfront to look at the ways in which the Center for the Arts could be connected to the river, and to look at how public access could be increased to the river, as well as looking at the ways in which artists could be involved with that effort. So, you know, really the genesis was around year 2000 through a planning process that was really focused on Beacon, and then being invited to kind of come up with a more comprehensive arts program for the larger valley. Three of the projects are in Beacon. We now have an office that we've set up in Beacon, both as a office space and a workspace and an exhibition area, so that we can really provide public information about what we're doing throughout the valley. And the sites, you know, range from Bosque Bell in Cold Spring to Bear Mountain State Park, West Point, New Paltz, Annandale on Hudson, and other areas.
That's interesting. Leads into a question about art and nature intersecting, and how do you see that happening on the Hudson specifically?
Lots of people talk about environmental learning, and there are a lot of stewardship programs that try to teach kids and families about what the Hudson River is through laboratory projects where you go to the river. Well, art is something that is much more ambiguous and ephemeral, but it can help people learn about the environment in a way they'd never would have the chance to otherwise. And our artists, we hope, the artists I'm working with, have spent their lives really, they were selected because of their relationship to the land and to these kind of broad ideas about place.
It seems to me that there's a historical basis in the Hudson Valley specifically, and I'm thinking of the Hudson Valley School landscape painters.
You know, here was a group of painters who, interestingly enough, were largely not from the Hudson Valley. They were from Europe. They were from New York City. They came to the Valley. They later in their lives set up studios and homes in the Valley, but that they basically were engaged in reflecting upon and trying to bring you closer to nature. And they were not only working in isolation, because they worked very closely with the Knickerbocker writers, and also very interestingly, they were working alongside the industrialists in the Valley. So you had this period where artists were depicting these very, these kind of ideas of paradise in nature at the same time that the Hudson Valley was being industrialized. It had the heaviest industrialization in its history. And that contradiction of untouched nature and then how that nature is transformed. I mean, the fact that the bricks and stones that were in the valley went to build the Empire State Building. I mean, I think it's very interesting. And forests were deforested So those contradictions are actually exactly the subject of our project. And in a way, what we're thinking, everyone knows about the Hudson River School painters. They're the subjects of retrospectives now, and they're finally getting a great deal of recognition. But I think you can't stop in the 19th century. You have to also look at how contemporary artists, artists that are living right now, are looking at the same, it happens to be in this case the same landscape, but you can't just look at these idyllic visions and say, okay, this is who we are as the Hudson Valley. You have to also look at the future.
It's almost like there's a promise, a possible promise here of another Hudson River School, an extension and a growth and a modern view of the same thing, and in media that go beyond the canvas.
Yes. I mean, the artists that I'm working with, they're photographers, they're filmmakers, they're conceptual painters, they're sculptors. And I think, wouldn't it be great if you went, when you went up to Albany to the state legislative building, that not only were there these incredible paintings by the Hudson River School paintings by Church and Cole and others, but there might be contemporary works.